Hello and welcome to part two of the NBA Outlet. NBA Outlet Power Rankings. We did the first 15. You can check that out. iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. As always, I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, Corey Waldron. Special guest in the United States, Jack Manuel.
I need to be here a lot longer, guys, if this is going to keep happening.
Especially if they go this long.
Put the flag out with the month.
Yeah, man. You guys got to, like, pay for my airfares.
We're going to start a GoFundMe right now.
Patreon.
Yeah, but getting into it, we touched on a little bit of Grizzlies, not a ton deep dive, but if you wanted more of that, Brendan Smart's writing great
articles.
Yeah, but we're going to dive into the Sacramento Kings, probably the biggest surprise so far this season in terms of where they're at. I don't think anybody saw them in the top 15 going to the year. Almost a lock to be bottom five.
I didn't see them like top 25, let alone top 15, top half, but... A lot of credit goes to so many people around that organization. You know, Dave Yeager to be able to institute the system, which I touched on a little bit earlier. De'Aaron Fox is borderline all-star level. Like, you know, we have Derek Rose right now getting the votes. I think De'Aaron Fox has far exceeded his season.
More exciting.
And I think he's been as good as Luka Doncic this season. That might be somewhat of a hot take, but I think he's been as good in terms of how he is leading the team. And in terms of how he's getting his teammates involved. I think Luka's been better individually in terms of his own game. And I think, you know, other guys around there, like Bogdanovic, I think the pickup of Bielitsa. You know, there's been all this turmoil that we sort of associate with the Kings. And it's nice to actually see them, you know, actually doing some good things and being credited for some good things. And I would love to see them in the playoffs. And, you know, compared to the Mavs and the Grizzlies and such, I think there'd be a really fun 1-8 series against the Warriors, because I think that'd be a really entertaining series.
I think De'Aaron Fox has been the best sophomore.
Yes, way better than
right?
Simmons.
There's no, I mean, he's better than Simmons, Tatum,
yep.
Mitchell to this point, right?
Yep.
Obviously,
and he's actually leading a team. He's
right.
Their best player.
Yeah, and I plugged this a few times. I had him as not MVP, rookie of the year last year, and he let me down. And he's been tremendous this year. Definitely the most improved player candidate, which seems to always go to sophomore players. Which
it doesn't though, because a lot of people just go, "Oh, well, he's in his second year, he shouldn't." But I think I agree with you because he has made improvements in his game a lot.
Yeah. Like his three-point shooting has dramatically improved.
His free throw shooting as well, not turning the ball over as much. And as we mentioned, you know, none of us were really high on the Kings, and we all looked at their roster and all the assortment of big men. We laughed at them, like, "Look at you guys getting Marvin Bagley. You already got Sky
Scalabissier."
Yeah, we're not
lucky. I'm here for this.
Thank God, can't do these European names.
Willie Cauley Stein,
and
he's still got some crazy tats on his face.
He does.
Man.
Yeah, he
does.
But like he's and he's going to be a restricted free agent as well.
Yep.
So like that's going to be a weird thing about how they're, and we sort of talked about like the glut of big men in Orlando. I think it's a different thing with Sacramento. At least they have a foundational piece.
Right. We didn't even mention Harry Giles too. Is a
He's been good-ish.
Solid. Yeah,
he's played
solid.
A little in the G League, I think.
Yeah, and he's had moments. Like, you know, we sort of... I had him when I've done some writing for Beckett Media. He was sort of my, like, underrated sort of piece that could be, like, you know, a Rookie of the Year candidate. He certainly hasn't been that, but he has a lot of talent.
Yeah, and then, you know, we look at some of the guys who they brought in. Like, Amon Shumpert, he's been rejuvenized in Sacramento. He has a lot of value.
Yep.
And he's actually kind of, like... grown up, it seems like. He's actually giving out like media quotes. That's true. He just seems to have matured and became like, I don't want to say a man. He's like the vet of that team.
Yeah.
And then we mentioned Bogdanovic.
I love Bogdanovic.
When they played the Pacers, two weeks ago, and they beat the Pacers. Or I think they beat the Pacers.
Yeah.
They did. And Bogdanovic was a big reason why.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't stop him. And I love his game. He's just an offensive spark plug. And then, you know, you look at guys like Buddy Hield.
Yeah.
Buddy Hield is probably the most underappreciated guys right now.
There was a poll by Jackson Frank, who's given us a lot of support individually and as a whole. And he put out Lonzo Ball and Ingram. Or no, it was someone. I think I'm going to look it up while you guys are talking. But like it was Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox. And who would you rather have? No, Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox versus Gary Harris and Jamal Murray. I went with Gary Harris and Jamal Murray. Only because
they're more proven and they've won more games.
And they've won more games, but at the same time, and funnily enough, the Kings duo was winning it. But I can see why, because you know, they're not gonna be the next Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant like they say they're gonna be. But they've got a lot of upside. And I think we sort of overreacted to that Boogie Cousins trade, but They might have won it, similar to the fact of like Corey's pace.
Well, especially because New Orleans wasn't able to retain DeMarcus Cousins.
Exactly.
That looks like a major L for them.
Exactly.
And also, I mean, Hield wasn't an I mean, he was a decent three-point shooter, but he wasn't a 40... Lights out. I think he's a 43% three-point shooter this year.
But that was his projection going to the league.
Right.
He was going to improve. The first year with rookies, I'm not concerned. Like, with the Trae Young we talked about in the last show, he's going to get better.
Yeah.
Same thing with Buddy Hield. I would say it's interesting because it's like... Buddy Hield compared to Gary Harris Jr., you know, Buddy Hield's probably a better offensive player. Gary Harris is
way better,
defensive player. And De'Aaron Fox, he's been better as a defender this year. Jamal Murray's really hot and cold. I know he got benched earlier in the year.
But he's like offensive production.
Yeah. Can be really
when he's on, he's on.
Yeah,
there's no question about
it. It's insane.
It's a tough...
And you could do a whole podcast about that.
Yeah, it's pretty even.
You know what the comparison, and this may be bad, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield kind of remind me of like... John Wall and Bradley Beal?
Yeah, I don't hate that. That's not that bad.
But I think their fit is
Darren
a lot
Fox
better.
Fox feels like a nicer version of John Wall.
Yeah.
Like,
attitude-wise. Yeah,
like,
he's got a much more likable personality.
I remember our draft night with the
Wild.
He's just a really fun, cool kid. And I think a lot of people have mentioned that about him, like draft sort of experts.
And Buddy's always smiling. Like,
yeah, and I think that you... It helps to have, like you compared them to the Wizards, to have high-value, nice people in your organization going forward because you can build around those sort of people. And I think that going forward, despite the fact that Buddy Hield aged 1 year within a day...
that was too funny.
Which was weird. But at the same time, it doesn't change anything going forward for the
Kings.
At
least now. Yeah. It's just maybe like 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
I mean, in terms of contract status and that sort of
and
stuff.
And if you're looking at the point guards, I mentioned this in the NBL a couple weeks ago, look at the point guards from last year to this year. De'Aaron Fox is the best point guard out of last year's draft class.
Yeah, Dennis Smith is probably
Dennis Smith Jr., Lonzo Ball, Markel Fultz, obviously.
Lonzo has only made improvements defensively, but we'll get to the Lakers, which
he has been shooting a lot better from three as of late.
He shot his like best offensive game against the Nets.
Yeah, he did.
But defensively, I wasn't super impressed with him that game because D'Angelo cooked him. The previous game, I know he shut down Kemba, he shut down John Wall, but like... I think some nights, offense is always going to beat defense.
Oh, yeah, any day, and
you know what I
that's
mean?
The NBA, yeah.
You're defending Steph Curry, and he's hot. Like,
you can't beat Tony Allen, and despite the fact that Jabari Parker made those stupid comics, offense gets you paid.
Yeah. You still have to play defense and put in effort, but
yeah.
The Kings definitely really impressive. Do you think this is too high for them, or this is about right?
No, I think this is fine.
Number 14 for our fans listening.
Yep, I think that is completely accurate.
No, 15, right?
14.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I would have them there. I think that the Kings... and I think that, you know, we could wait till the end of the season. If they stay here, it will be a surprise. But at the same time, it's not that big of a surprise if they maintain this ball.
Yeah. I'm actually happy. I had the Kings 14, so
I think that they probably drop a little bit towards, you know, as the season progresses. You know,
but the Grizzlies... I mean, you look at the teams underneath them. Grizzlies, Jazz, Heat, Hornets, Mavs. Not many teams there, other than the Jazz... I don't see any other teams making massive jumps. Like, I think because they're still that good of a team, it's just the fact that they're in the Western Conference. Like,
that's why I think it's going to hurt them record-wise.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
And you can also make the argument that the Kings do have, like, maybe they make a trade. You know, Shumpert, we've mentioned.
And they don't have the pick, so that's why they would.
Right, Shumpert, you could trade. And
someone just Dustin Bailey, a guy who used to be with OTG, just messaged me and said they have some interest in Damari Carroll, possibly.
Really?
So
I think that'd be a nice fit. I mean, you need wings.
And also, you know, this is kind of gone like under the table. Zach Randolph is still on that team and
hasn't played
a single minute.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's a giant, you know, value or place, you know, interest
back to Memphis
in Zach Randolph, but.
I think he's probably washed.
You think so? He's pretty serviceable last year, though.
He was.
I think he's a bad team.
So slow, though.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a spot in any.
He's
NBA.
A good vet to have, though.
That's probably right. That's probably true.
Yeah, he's like a Jared Dudley type, but doesn't get to go on the court.
Al Jefferson.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
So, shout out to the Kings. Good season for them. San Antonio Spurs have been hot lately.
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts on them? Just got revenge on Kawhi beating the Raptors.
I mean, they've been hot and cold, to say the least. Like, you know, we were sort of saying, oh, are they going to make the playoffs? Well, they've fallen off. But I think a lot of the credit, to me, basically goes to Greg Popovich in terms of how he is able to just...
Never heard that before.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not that he doesn't get it plenty, but one of the best coaches of all time. But the ability to be able to change tack mid-season, you know, they were suffering in terms of the way that they were playing offense. We know the three-point shooting comments. But at the same time, you know, Bryn Forbes and Davis Bertāns, these guys are still hitting their threes. And, you know, DeMar DeRozan is one of the best passing shooting guards, if not the best, depending on where you want to classify James Harden, in the league. And I think that that is really benefiting his game overall. And, you know, in that massive sort of battle the other night, he easily outplayed a guy like Kawhi Leonard. So I think the Spurs will stay around this range, but I don't think they have as high a ceiling as a lot of other teams that are around this range, because there's not much, they can't really get much better, can they?
And they're like, not really like a big trade team.
No, and I think defensively they might be able to get better, but I think offensively they're sort of peaking, so yeah, to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is probably where they'll stay, like this range in this.
For the rest of the season. They're not going
to
push top 10.
This is like how
I felt about the Spurs going into the season, and this is how I feel about the Spurs now, is they're going to be like that 7-8 playoff team in the West.
They're going to be tough. They're not going to take any nights off.
Yeah.
Popovich is going to do everything he can to get them with the correct schemes and everything. DeMar DeRozan, first ever triple-double the other night, and you know, obviously he's been really good for the Spurs.
He's been great.
The only issue with them is, again, they don't have a lot of three-point shooters. They rely so heavily on the mid-range.
Yeah.
LaMarcus Aldridge, to me, has kind of looked like he's taken a step back after last season. So
I agree.
He doesn't know how to play, and I have a friend that's a Spurs fan. He's told me that he feels like he doesn't know how to play with another star.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, and I mean, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't help him having another guy who plays a very similar game in terms of the spots he wants to be on the floor.
Right.
Like in Portland, when he had a Damian Lillard and a CJ McCollum, it's a bit easier because they can
start. Yeah, and CJ wasn't even developed at that time.
Exactly.
They played like
Batum.
Yeah.
Lopez.
And Lillard. It was early Lillard.
He's similar style of play.
Yeah. Right? Aldridge was the man, and that's where he's the best when he's a man. But he's getting up there in age, and he can't be the man. So it's very interesting. He's expiring this year. What's going to happen with his career?
Yes, for sure.
I mean, they've had some, you know, obviously you mentioned Forbes.
Yep.
Brian Forbes has been really good for them. Rudy Gay has been tremendous.
Oh, yeah.
I
love Rudy Gay.
And then, you know,
I always wanted him to be really good.
He's like the best 2K player for me. Him and like J.R. Smith, because they're guys that can hit the three and they're athletic and they can
I jump. Dropped 50 on someone in 2K and Rudy Gay before.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you serious? That's pretty impressive.
When he was on Memphis.
Oh, he was nice.
Yeah, I cooked them so
Memphis
bad.
Memphis and Toronto, yeah.
But, there's not a lot of upside for this Spurs team. But that's not a bad thing.
No,
because
it's not.
When you get Aldridge off the books this offseason,
who knows?
Then who knows what kind of talent you... Because also, DeJounte Murray is going to be back.
Is Pop going to be there, though?
That's a question.
That's the big one. And, I mean, this isn't a future...
Someone's definitely promised that job. I can't remember who, though. Someone on that coach...
It's the woman. It's Becky Hammons, I thought.
I don't think that she's promised a job. It's the international coach who's still on there. I would think that it's, like, his job after Pop's gone.
Yeah, and I don't... I mean, that's a question for another day, but I think I've spoken about it on JBT. I think the over-under is 2 years. I don't see him there longer than that. And I think he deserves to enjoy the rest of his life and, you know, head into politics and hopefully be the president of your lovely country one day. Him and Kerr. Pop Kerr 2020. Let's make it happen. But
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see. Torre Messina.
Yeah, I believe he has international experience and he's been Pop's right hand man for a while.
And he's always, like sort of Corey was saying earlier.
He interviewed for the Nets job, not mistaken. He interviewed for 25 jobs. It's like similar to the NFL bringing it up, Josh McDaniels and the Patriots.
Right.
He's interviews for a lot of jobs, but there's a good chance he'll be Belichick's
right-hand man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Take after him. So, but Spurs, you know, enjoy it while you can. I think they'd have a good conversation with R.C. Buford. What's the direction of the team in the offseason? Are we going to try to rebuild? Pop wants to
get out of here. We haven't seen much of Lonnie Walker either.
Just saw him the other night. I think that was like his first action of the season.
Yeah, he's been hurt,
I'm intrigued to see what he can provide.
I like his swag. I like that kid.
Yeah, the tallest hair that I've ever seen.
He's got some nice glasses, too.
He does.
We needed some after Alfred Payton shaved his head. We needed like a new funky hair.
Yeah, true. And De'Aaron Fox is sort of getting it a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah. Moving on, though, to the next team, the Clippers. Another surprising team. I think we thought they'd be right around the playoff race, but they had a really good start that probably we didn't expect. Gallinari has been shooting lights out.
My boy. I'm going to call him my boy because I remember jumping on, not last season, but the season before, being quite high on the signing, and you guys absolutely...
You got hurt that year, too. We won last year, at least.
You did, and it took me a little while, like with you.
He fits better without Blake being there.
He does, and he fits better alongside Tobias Harris. Like, that front court sort of 3-4 combination is probably the most...
They're both tweeners.
The efficiency of those two in terms of their shooting and scoring is amazing. And I think that, you know, that they're doing everything right to attract free agents.
Mm.
Be it KD, be it Kawhi, be it whoever. But if they can get one of them, then I think that they can be a top-4 seed. Again, it's a future sort of thing, but this season... And I've really liked Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You know, I see everyone sort of makes this sort of comparison to a Sean Livingston type with him, which I think is a very, very good comparison because, you know, if you're...
Sean Livingston pre-injury, I would say.
Yeah, exactly, like with athleticism and such. I think that he has a ways to go, but he will be a starter, maybe a fringe all-star one day. And I like, you know, all these other pieces, like, you know, you got Mike Scott, you got Patrick Beverley, you got all these sort of guys. I think the one disappointment for them, outside of maybe probably that front court sort of amalgamation, you've got Bobby is one of my favorite players and characters in the
best
NBA.
Best ER in NBA history.
And he's just a
John Wick 3 star.
I can't wait for that movie. I love John Wick 2 and 1. Keanu Reeves, if you want to appear on The Outlet, you know, just hit me up, baby.
We could do a Matrix show.
I mean, you know, with him and Gortat, sort of the front court's been a bit of a mishmash, but they have Montrezl Harrell.
So that's kind of allowed it not to really matter as much, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, Montrezl Harrell is probably winning, if not second, in the Sixth Man of the Year race.
Yeah.
And Avery Bradley's been the biggest disappointment for me. If once his contract's off the books, then I think going forward the Clippers are in a very, 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 very nice spot.
His contract's only partially guaranteed next year, if not all, like, non-guaranteed.
Yeah, so that works out perfectly for them and their free agency aspirations.
I mean, like, just looking at this Clippers roster, obviously, like, Montrezl Harrell has been way better than last year. Gallinari looks to be in shape.
Why no one sent Montrezl Harrell an offer sheet?
Of, like, 120.
Blows my mind.
Yeah,
no one.
It's not like he wasn't good last year. He wasn't as amazing as this season, but he was still good. And there's a lot of growth.
Yeah.
So obviously he's been. Gallinari looks in shape to me, which is the he looks just a lot faster than he's looked the last couple of years.
Yeah, he looks quite spry.
And then you look at Tobias Harris, who I think has solidified himself as at least a number 3 option on a contender.
Yeah, I would agree.
You could push him to 2, but you're probably not really competing for him.
He lacks a little killer instinct.
Right, I would say that too. He's a little bit more passive. I've been content with, what is the rookie's name? Shaquille Alexander.
Yep.
I think he is going to be the real deal.
Two-way.
I'm not saying he's going to be like a superstar, but I think he's going to be a very solid starting point guard in the NBA for years to come.
He's in a great spot
and
for
as we mentioned, this Clippers team, with how hard they've played and them being in the playoff picture, they've put themselves in an amazing position to bring in a free agent. Because as a lot of stars have mentioned, you know, Durant came out and said it, people don't want to play with LeBron. For whatever reason, make it into what you will, but people still want to be in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what I think about the little brother teams in both New York and California. Neither team, being the Clippers or the Nets, they don't have that legacy where you're like, oh, who's this big player? You know, with the New Jersey Nets, it's Jason Kidd. But the Brooklyn Nets, nobody's coming and really like, you know, I think Brooklyn Nets, I think of this player. Same thing with the Clippers. Who do we think about when we think of the Clippers? We think about Lob City a little bit.
Yeah,
maybe about Baron Davis a little bit back in the day. But you could really and be like that guy.
Yeah, and you can make the case too. I mean, obviously the Nets had some playoff stretches, you know, 6-7 years ago, but this is the best standing the Clippers and Nets have really ever been in with how much cap space they have too. Like they both have
with the talent still there too.
Exactly, that's
because
what I'm
both
saying.
Teams had cap space back when LeBron signed with Miami, but they weren't enticing. Right. Now there's some enticing because you got Harrell, you got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you got Gallinari still on contract. The whole Tobias thing's a little interesting because if they do sign a big star, I think there's a good chance he doesn't come back.
Yeah, he'll probably go somewhere because he deserves to get paid to an extent. I hope the Nets don't offer him a massive offer sheet.
I wouldn't send him I don't think he's a full max type of guy, and I think someone's going to give him a full max type
of guy. I think he's better offered like an Otto Porter style contract, but I agree because I think that the NBA world would be a buzz if we had the Lakers and the Clippers as like two of the top 4 seeds, like, you know, LeBron still at his peak and like battling against KD, like
bro to bro, same arena.
Oh, like, man, that'd be sick. I mean, I'm salivating at the prospect, and I'm not even a Clippers fan.
Yeah, it's good for the Clippers. Good. Steve Ballmer's done an excellent job being owner. I think it says a lot when your owner's like almost at every single game, front row, you feel him there.
Yeah, like Cuban life.
Yeah, and you give the Clippers a lot of credit for all the attention they've given Kawhi. I don't know if you guys heard, they've been sending
scouts
to every single game. Kawhi knows that they're there.
Jerry West? I mean, he's obviously he helped get the Warriors to where they are, and now he's with the Clippers.
Have you guys seen much of Seinfeld? There's like one episode where Jerry is just like, you know, sometimes you don't have to do anything, you just have to be there, and then that's what's going to get you like the girl or the guy or whatever. So that's what the Clippers are doing right now. You don't have to do anything, just got to be there for them, and maybe
something
that,
they're familiar with.
Maybe that's what swings Kawhi Leonard, and obviously we know he likes the weather a little
bit.
It's
funny, the one American talks about Seinfeld.
There we go. You guys got to get up in your sitcoms. Watch some Home and Away and some Neighbors.
Moving on from the Clippers, Portland Trailblazers. just a really weird vibe for the Blazers this season.
The Blazers are the, like, they're Blazers. Just the Blazers. Like, yeah. I know we've probably used adjective to describe these teams as themselves, but they've almost become like, you know, oh yeah, we know what the Blazers are. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. I've liked some moments from Zach Collins. I think Evan Turner's been using
it. Nurkic is having a pretty good year.
Nurkic's having a very good year. That stat line the other night, like 20, 25, 5, and 5.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't think that's ever been done.
And for like, his first ever in NBA history.
Which is insane.
I have such like a hard time gauging him.
Yeah, and like, it, because they have Zach Collins on that roster as well, it's just like, I mean, hopefully that improves his development, but their front court is very intriguing. But, you know, if you don't have, like, a very capable wing, and, like, Mo Harkness and Alfred Camino are good enough, but they're never going to reach, like, a peak. I don't think they should blow it up. I think that there is value in being what the Blazers are. Like, you know, a playoff contender consistently, and, you know, just...
Kevin Love to Portland, is that going to help them? Is that going to be a move they
should I think it's more likely to Utah, like I said in the preseason pods. I think that they need it more, whereas I think Utah, you know, might have sort of a redemption narrative towards them if they make the playoffs. Like, we embarrassed ourselves against the New Orleans Pelicans, we need to make a statement. And that could happen. Narrative is huge in any sport, let alone the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Blazers, where they are in these rankings, are fair. My only thing with the Blazers is, like, this is a regular season team. I think they can beat almost any team on any given night.
They can.
But they can't beat most teams in a 7-game series. Yeah. That's the difference. Because
you take out Dame, and then it's
you take out one of those guys. Realistically, there's just not enough offense to go around.
No.
Obviously, I think Maurice Harkless is decent. I mean, I think Aminu has been... Alfred Aminu, yep.
That's
pretty good. Yeah. He follows me on Twitter. Shout out.
Oh!
He's solid. He plays decently well. And as you mentioned, Nurkic. But realistically, you know, Evan Turner, that contract is terrible. Seth Curry has not been good for them, really. He's been
what
better
about
that
other
late.
Guy, Nick something?
Nick
Sauce Castillo.
Stokikos.
I mean, like...
Stokikos?
Nick Stauskis.
All right.
Sauce.
Stau?
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 Skis.
Skis. Stauskis.
Stauskis.
There we go!
Nick Stauskis.
I'm here, and I'm already improving your life, Corey.
Wow, thank God.
I think you should hire him as your personal teacher.
I mean, I need a sponsorship if I want to kick around, so, mate, if you got some money...
I'll work for you. Yeah, so their bench unit has been their biggest issue, and then again this year, there's just not a lot of offense.
Yeah.
Can they make a move to make them better?
Unless they get rid of Evan Turner, and I don't know anyone in the league who wants that contract. I think he's making 17.
If you attach something to it, but then the Blazers never really get that sort of high of a pick.
Right, they're always...
The flattened odds helps to an extent.
I think the biggest mistake the Blazers made over, other than like some of the contract situations, they had a year where they had 3 draft picks. And they ended up moving up for Zach Collins.
Yeah.
And they just really didn't do a lot with their draft
Wasn't
picks.
It Giles and Justin Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, like, neither of those guys, but like they could have selected someone differently. And I think that
they could have traded those picks during the season because there was big names available and they just didn't pull the trigger. Yeah.
But I do like their player development. Like Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and Zach Collins. Those guys have developed pretty well.
Jake Layman has been decent,
Jake
too.
Layman has been very good for them.
And I mean, even Harkless has taken small strides. He's not like blown anyone out of the water, but he has become more efficient throughout the time in the NBA.
There is value in, you know, not necessarily being an absolutely superstar, you know, championship contender. I think that there's value in that. And I think owners realize that. And I mean, I'm a fan of the Blazers. They're not my favorite team, but if they're ever on, I'm like, you know, last night against the Thunder, they played a pretty entertaining game.
They did play an entertaining game.
Dame is fun to watch.
He's so fun to watch.
Beat the Warriors a couple nights ago and he hit that game winning shot, which was an extremely tough shot.
He's top 5, one of the most entertaining players to watch on TV.
He can win you a game. It just like feels like he's not as appreciated much playing in Portland.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we talked about, you know, Lillard and Davis on the last show, but like, you know, Lillard and LeBron, you know, there'd be plenty of sort of scenarios where Lillard could be utilized even greater and, you know, his legacy would be even greater. But I think his legacy as a Portland great, as one of the best Portland players of all time.
Off the court too, he does a lot.
He is awesome, man. He is awesome. His shoes are quite fire as well.
Decent rapper.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
His freestyle on Sway was actually really good.
Well, they never freestyles, though, because Charles Gambino's one was on that as well. They always plan ahead. They know what they're... They know the beat.
They do the 5 fingers of death.
What's the 5 fingers of death?
So they... Well, I don't know if that was for Dame's, but it's the 5 fingers of death, and they do 5 different beats, and they just randomly change the beats, and then it's different beats.
But it's easy to freestyle. If you have the words and you have decent wordplay.
I mean, like, I still can give it credit if they're still memorizing it. I don't respect the guys that pull out their cell phone, and they're like, hold up.
Well, like, Iggy, like, I think... I can't remember if it was Iggy Azalea or, like, Kanye had one of, like, the worst ones ever.
Yeah.
But, like,
a lot of good, quote-unquote, good artists had really bad freestyles.
I'll show you a really good one after this.
Bad artists had really, really, really good freestyles. Yeah. But enough about freestyle talk. I could actually do a podcast about that. On to the LA Lakers, the most talked about team in the NBA, not only because they're LA, but because they have this guy named LeBron James. Yeah, that's right.
LJ. King.
You know, I forgot that name real quick.
Goat.
He's pretty good. Has he won a title yet?
Goat?
I know he's lost a couple, but no, I'm just kidding. On to the Lakers, though. Thoughts on them being in the top 10 and obviously LeBron injury, recent play?
I mean, their recent play, 1-4, probably doesn't warrant them being above teams like the Blazers and the Clippers and even the Spurs.
Yeah, number 10 in the rankings. That's what they're
coming out. I mean, you automatically give them an extra one or two spots because they have LeBron James. But without him, like, we all saw that photo with Rob Pelinka, who looked a lot like Rob Lowe, mind you.
He did.
They literally looked like they were going to trade everyone.
He was on Parks and Rec right now.
Yeah. I saw a meme, and
Chris Traeger?
Do Operation, or what is it called, from Star Wars. Order 66.
Okay.
And it's like when you start killing all the Jedi's, but like there was that picture with the Botch that. That was not a great joke.
And we're not editing that out, so you're gonna have to cringe a little.
but
they're solid.
They're not this. They shouldn't be this. This is simply another one of those teams that, because like the Blazers and Clippers for me are above the Lakers.
A lot of people have them as like being the second best team in the West because they have LeBron, and I get that, but based on current form, like you said.
You got to respect OKC. You even got to respect Houston right now. You got to respect Denver.
Yeah.
And I think even with LeBron healthy, like, there's still major question marks with this
major
team.
Major questions.
They need to make a trade if they want to be, quote-unquote, a serious
That's
contender.
What I've always, like, sort of given criticism, warranted criticism towards Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka, how they've built the roster around LeBron. It's probably one of the biggest mismatches. Apart from, like, the young guys fit fine. It's the Michael Beasley, Rajon Rondo, all these sort of pieces that just make no sense. And like, you're giving Michael Beasley the biannual exception, $3 million. That's the exact same contract that Brook Lopez is on right now in Milwaukee. And look what he's doing. He's like going to make this. If he doesn't make this,
imagine the spacing LeBron would have if he had Brook.
He needs to make the 3-point contest or we riot. So Joe Harris, Brook Lopez, the essentials. If they win, I'm going to riot as well.
I imagine they're in the final.
Oh man, please! I've been watching that for days.
And you mentioned Beasley hasn't even really played this.
No.
He got minutes, I think, in the last game, but that's only because of injury.
Right. Lance Stephenson, I know, like, the vibe on him is, like, hit or miss. Yeah, the air guitar.
Russell Westbrook did it better.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook did it way better, and I love that, like, he just stared at him, and then he stopped. Awesome. And then he did it again.
Awesome. But, I mean, I like Lance for, like, the energy purpose. That's the one thing that Lance brings to you. He brings, like, a ridiculous amount of energy and confidence off the bench. You just kind of, like, you get up when he's on the floor. I feel like, and I even saw some Laker guys writing about, or tweeting about that last night, because the Knicks, they lost, and they were just flat.
Yeah.
But he had energy. But you look at some of the other guys without LeBron, you know, Lonzo's gotten better defensively, as we mentioned on the last pod. Offensively, still not that good. Ingram kind of doesn't know how to play with LeBron, I feel like. Josh Hart, I think, has taking definitely some steps to be like a solid role player. Some people were really high on him.
And some people,
like,
were really high on Kuzma.
Kuzma, I think, is kind of warranted.
Kuzma might be their second best player this year.
But
though.
He's not the second. I don't think he's even the third best player on a championship team. I think he's the fourth best at most.
I think he could be a third. I don't want to say second.
Ceiling is like Tobias Harris-esque.
Yeah.
But I don't think Tobias.
Maybe more offensive pop. Maybe not the same. I think Tobias Harris is probably a better defender, but I think Kyle Kuzma could probably be a better offensive player.
And he's shown spurts of defensive, like, acumen as well. I think a lot of my, like, thoughts have been distorted by, like, the Golden State, like, current legacy. Maybe on, like, when Golden State eventually, and they're sort of showing some signs of deterioration, that I think that Kyle Kuzma can be that. But in the Golden State dynastic NBA that we are right now, he can't be your third best player.
That's fair.
Yeah. I say it's fair.
Because it's just like the two-way ability is not fully there.
No.
Yeah.
And I think you need like
he could maybe be your third best scoring option, possibly.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe he could be a third best scoring
option. But you still need to have a really good two. Yeah. Like that, maybe Dame.
And that's what Josh Hart has, like, really nice two-way upside. But there's no second best player next to LeBron. And unless there's a second best player next to LeBron in the West, you know, you're not going to be that.
It's a lot of like third and fourth best player type.
Yeah.
Maybe even fifth. You know,
yeah, exactly.
And shout out to like the centers, like JaVale McGee, obviously. He's kind of come back down to earth, but he had a tremendous hot start.
He did.
And then Zubac, as of the last couple games.
You know, I brought up Zubac not on the last preview show, on the previous year, and I was like, yo, Zubac's actually pretty good. And everyone laughed at me.
You're right, then, because he's been solid.
Because he did like...
It's like taking 2 years for all of our takes to be realized.
It's like, I think he's solid. I don't know, like, how much he's going to bring to them. Also, Tyson Chandler hasn't been bad as, like, you know...
No, and he already had a game winner, right? Or a game winning block. Or a game winning block.
Yeah, and he's great with the tip outs. That's, like, my favorite thing about his game. It's super annoying when you play them, but...
Yeah.
But the Lakers, we all agree, I think, need to make one big splash if they want to make a big splash in the playoffs.
And they will. They will make some sort of move. It's just how it feels.
And it's how big and how does it impact the future contract situation in the offseason. I brought this up with you before. I'm not against them just sitting it out and waiting to the offseason and then making a decision. Yeah. Because
that's why they didn't get Paul George in the first place. If they had have traded for him, then they would have got him, and they would have had their number two.
And I think and he's playing like an MVP. Oh, so
man, it would have been incredible to see this Paul George with LeBron. That would have been a really fun.
There'd be a championship contender.
It'd be close to being one of the best wings that he's ever played with.
Yes.
Yeah. Like if you want to debating if you're thinking Wade's a wing or not or a guard.
No, I'll give you a man.
So, but Lakers, I'm sure we'll give them plenty of chatter. Sixers, talking splash, Jimmy Butler making the news again. Number 9 in the rankings. There's some concern in Philly.
There is some big concern in Philly. And I think that, you know, we could do... Literally, I think this is probably the team where we could spend the most time on. And
I honestly don't even want to.
I mean, I've enjoyed Ben Simmons' season. I think that he has made improvements. But their fit, and we sort of talked about, you know, their real big strength last season was the depth that they had in terms of being able to plug in guys like Ilya Sova and Bellinelli. But now those guys are now Wilson Chandler and Mike Gascala and Landry Shamet and Furkan Korkmaz. Those aren't going to be guys that are going to be playing some good playoff minutes for you. And they need to make some sort of move. Maybe trade Jimmy Butler again for Bradley Beal if that is... You know, I have no idea in terms of contract-wise if that is financially or even legally possible within the CBA system.
I think it is. And I think contract-wise, they're not far off.
Mentioned on the last one, I reckon you'd do it, because I think that would make...
I think Washington says no, though.
I think Washington probably would, but they're a pretty stupid front office. Ernie Grunfeld is not the smartest cookie in the... Where did cookies go?
But who knows? Maybe you're going to get Markelle Fultz in that trade.
Yeah,
but I still don't know. I mean,
I completely
like,
forgot about Markel.
Yeah, you feel bad for him
because Jimmy Butler's just dominated the news so much.
Butler's value is all time low,
way low,
definitely.
And I didn't think it could get any lower than, you know, throwing a tantrum at practice.
Yeah,
but if he's already doing
throwing a tantrum at his coach,
three different teams. You know, there's all questionable decisions. We're not going to say Brett Brown's the best coach in the NBA,
but I think Brett Brown is the most personable coach out of all the ones that he's had.
If you
compare him to like Thibodeau, we know him. Fred Hoiberg is just
weak.
Yeah, very passive. Whereas Brett Brown has a nice balance, and you know, we sort of know he's not the greatest coach in the NBA. I know my boy Nick Buzink is. but I don't understand how this can keep happening. And I mean, we don't know the full details, the full extent of it all. Obviously, those will trickle out in the coming days. But there's plenty of issues within Philadelphia right now. And we haven't even mentioned the stunning form that Joel Embiid has shown this season. He's been amazing, MVP level form.
And just to touch on Brett Brown, I think he cried when they traded Dario Saric. Him and him, they had like an emotional
departure.
Him and his players really connect.
And that's similar to, I think, like a Coach Kenny type. Those player development style coaches, and he was there through the tanking days and the process days, so we know how he connects.
I do want to say that with the latest thing that came out with Jimmy Butler being disrespectful during a film session with Brett Brown, I read somewhere that Brett Brown himself did not take it as disrespect, that players and the team took it as disrespect. Brett Brown and Jimmy Butler have a relationship in which that
would not surprise me.
Because Brett Brown, this would fit his personality.
Right.
Yeah, and
what I heard is Brett Brown was okay with the interaction, but other players and other members of the Sixers were not okay with how he brought it up.
They thought it was disrespectful.
They don't like this quote-unquote asshole coming in disrespecting their guy.
That's the biggest thing about this whole thing, and a lot of people have said it. Who does this benefit, leaking this information? Doesn't benefit Jimmy at all or his camp.
Someone on the team doesn't like him.
And that's probably what it is. And like JJ Redick has had him on a podcast, and he's a fascinating character. Like he's
could it be Ben?
I mean, who knows? It could be Ben, but he's probably maybe he doesn't get along with.
And you could even it could be Ben, because if you think about a couple of games ago when Ben Simmons and Embiid went for that rebound,
yeah,
and they clashed on each other, and Embiid's like, you know, why the F are you going for that rebound?
Yeah.
And I think Simmons has been kind of having, like, I don't want to say an identity crisis.
Simmons but does not fit as a personality in Philadelphia right now. And despite, no. I know a lot of, I'm a
too laid back.
And I think, like, you can tell, like, you see all the stuff, like, and this is, you know, getting into TMZ sort of bullshit. But you can tell he's a somewhat of an outcast. Not in a negative sense, but he'll be spending time with Kendall and his own posse and stuff. Posse not in a negative sense, just in his friends and stuff. But that sort of, you know, isolates you to an extent from, you know, Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler. And, you know, we haven't seen them sort of meshing. We haven't seen them buddy-buddy moments apart from maybe a few Insta posts here and there. And I don't hate it. I mean, it's just going to be their direction as being, like, you know, we sort of said in last year's playoffs, they were the favorites. They were going to, like, win it all. They were going to go to the finals until Boston sort of...
I really thought they'd win the East.
So did I. And yeah, I think even Bill Simmons, the Celtics man himself, thought that. But they were brought apart by a better cohesive team. So, and that's what they need. They need cohesion and they need depth.
What's that? Culture and chemistry matters?
That's been a trend, huh?
It's a theme.
I want to say, though, too, I think for Ben Simmons, it might be also just the fact that, you know, it was Simmons and Embiid. Now it's really kind of Butler and Embiid. Like, those are the faces.
I almost think it's just Embiid and then other people.
Like, I mean, it could be that. I mean, I know that. I think ego is a possibly real dangerous thing for the Sixers.
It's also extremely difficult to create a different offense in almost the middle of the season.
You're 100%.
You're bringing Jimmy Butler in, an all-star type player. You're not bringing in Marco Bellinelli or Irsan Ilyasova, two role players. You're bringing in an all-star who is just the alpha on his team, and that caused major issues. Now, there's always already been some discussion about who's really the alpha in Philly. You know, everyone says Embiid, but Simmons to some extent, LeBron Jr., you know, that was like talked about a lot last year, being that the guy.
Prince.
Yeah, so I don't know. They got to get their chemistry right. They still can. They easily can be probably a top five team if they find everything right. And buyout, they got both those guys in the buyout market. The buyout market's not going to change. There's going to be guys out there.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, also when Jimmy Butler first came to Philly, they were winning.
They were.
Everything was great. Everybody's wearing the headbands. And
headband
we're all,
gang.
Yeah, everything's all copacetic, right? That's the word? Yeah.
Jack teacher over here.
And then, you know, they started losing. And obviously, that's when everything.
Yeah,
all these things started coming.
Well, that's when you find out a lot about a team,
right?
How they bounce back from the losing. That's where
we shall see.
And that's the biggest thing. And they also, as we mentioned, 3-point shooting is something that they're going to have to address because this team just doesn't have enough 3-point shooting to make a deep playoff run in today's NBA.
You need elite 3-point shooting when you have a point guardish, whatever you want to call Ben Simmons, can't shoot. He's shooting a little bit now. Butler, not a great 3-point shooter. Embiid, not a great 3-point shooter.
He shoots like a right hander.
Who has a worse jump shot?
He eats like a right hander.
Lonzo Ball,
you saw that?
Ben Simmons.
Yeah, Ben Simmons. Like, Lonzo at least makes it. So, like,
I've seen Lonzo knock down 4 threes in a game.
Yeah, that's why I think, like, if you make the shot, it's not bad. Sean Marion. Like, if you make the shot, it makes it good. So, like,
you know.
Yeah, I mean,
for you guys while. Agreed with me for a second. You guys are really good.
No.
So quickly, like, yeah.
No,
yeah.
He was good though. Joakim Noah could knock down jumpers in Chicago.
Yes, he could.
Didn't he do like the finger bang suit salute after he hit that jumper in Memphis? Yeah,
puts him away.
He's like,
I don't know what you're doing, Joakim, but good for him.
I'm glad you guys were still quick to agree with me.
It's a really good pound.
Yeah.
Celtics, another team in our rankings right here. Very interesting start. I think a lot of us thought they were going to be really good going to season three. Thought there'd be maybe a little chemistry issue starting off, but it's kind of lingered a lot longer than most anticipated.
Do they need to make a trade?
Like, can they really make a trade is the question.
Or do they need to like just figure it out? Just like Danny Ainge.
Make a trade.
My resolution was they need just to practice and like spend more time together and like be friends.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got Marcus Smart impacts them so positively, and then Jaylen Brown's sort of like the
who's been their
person.
Second best player. Kyrie's been number one.
Marcus Morris.
He's had a career year shooting split wise. I mean, he's been ridiculous.
He'll get paid, and he deserves to get paid.
It's like, yo, Marcus Morris isn't getting minutes going to the season. And that was like the talk.
Yeah, it was literally the talk. Somebody's gonna have to give up minutes. Got to be Marcus Morris.
Al Horford looks not a shell of himself.
You know what? He's got a bad knee injury.
Yeah, like we've seen like the
Cam advocated for a lot of rest for him.
Yeah, like his mobility does not look great, and they need him to be like the defensive sort of juggernaut they want to be, because right now they're still a very good team and their upside is tremendous. But you know, Brad Stevens, you know, the marvelous nature of Brad Stevens himself, the genius, can't figure it all out. It has to be down to the players, and You know, they've had all these weird meetings and stuff. Kyrie's had a very, very, very good season, which I think has probably gone under the radar due to all the drama there.
Yeah, they're a better record MVP conversation,
and,
probably.
Yeah, and Gordon Hayward has had his moments, but, you know, he's coming back from a horrific broken leg. And
it's almost like he came back too soon.
Yeah, and like...
Too soon and got way too many minutes too soon.
Too much pressure, like, right, putting that in that too. Situation.
Yeah, I think that if he is on the team next year and he's still not, you know... Because we saw Paul George came back from the same injury and is in MVP and is having the best...
Took 2 years, though.
Yeah, it did. It exactly. So, the Celtics probably have the highest upside here. Like, they're, like, barely top 10 right now, but they could easily be one of the top teams here.
Yeah, they could be top 3.
Yeah, I mean, going into the year, I had them winning 67 games, I think. I had them being the best team in the NBA record-wise.
I think one thing that really sticks out is you mentioned Al Horford not being amazing. Their depth behind him, Baines is solid. Yeah, and Baines is good in his role, but his role isn't always amazing for, you know, he's not Al Horford. Horford provides something completely different.
Yep.
Their depth in that area, their bigs aren't necessarily great, especially when you're missing
two. It's almost like they've got too much depth and they don't know how to use it.
Yeah, and their depth is almost allocated to one area where it's like all wings.
Yeah,
and not just that.
Rozier's been kind of...
And those three guys who were crucial for them last year have not been good this year.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Terry Rozier. All those guys are not as efficient as they were last year
because they're in different roles,
right? And I think that's, you know, and Hayward hasn't been good, but actually the last like couple weeks he
dropped 35 the other night,
35
right?
Last night, last night he had 16 10 and 8 I think a close triple double again.
He's starting to loosen up. He looks really stiff to start the year.
I think he's not that he's accepting it, but he's okay now coming off the bench. Like, I think that was kind of an adjustment period because obviously we know Hayward's a star.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, he's a starter, he's an all-star, and he's got to come off the bench now. I think that was, I don't want to say like an ego hit, but he had to figure out how to come off and not be fresh to start off a game.
It's also very difficult from a mental perspective because of the injury. Maybe in his head he's thinking, oh, I'm not a star anymore because, like, oh, I just got benched.
Yeah.
And, like,
dude, that messes with anyone.
He might not, and I'm not... Knock on wood, he might not ever get back to where he was because of the injury. It was a serious injury. It's not like we're talking a regular break or something.
His leg wasn't how it was
supposed to be. Yeah, it's the ligaments, the tendons, everything got messed up. Shout out our boy Caris LeVert, who was blessed and only had the dislocation. But having all those breaks, and you're paying him $31 million, $32 next year, $34 player option the next year.
I mean, I think that he can get back, but I think that...
I don't know if he'll ever get back to earning that value.
But Paul George has. That's why it gives me hope.
But the issue with me, with because you can bring in the comparison, the only issue, the difference for me is, like, Paul George was always, like, a really good defender.
And a really good athlete.
Gordon Hayward has always been an above-average defender, but not, like, I'm a lockdown defender.
He's a system defender.
Right. Yeah. And my issue is, you know, when you have this kind of leg injury, how does that... I mean, I think offensively you can still make it work, but when you lose speed in your game, that's where, like, defense to me is where you take the hit.
Lateral quickness.
And that's where I worry about Hayward. He doesn't look that quick still, and obviously, as you mentioned, it takes time.
We hope that he gets back to it. You know, that's obviously what we're hoping for. The Celtics definitely be interesting. The trade market's going to be something. They have more assets than probably anybody in the league.
Saving that for Davis, though.
Rozier will be moved this year. I can almost guarantee it. Rozier's gone. Because they're going to have to let him walk. You can't bring him back. You might as well deal him.
Yeah,
and his season hasn't been promising.
And now, right now, with Irving out, this is the chance for Rozier to get that value up to then they can bid, hopefully, the best kind of deal you can get.
Yeah.
So, moving on to Corey's squad, Indiana Pacers, one of the hottest teams in the NBA, one of the best records in December. I'll let you start this one, Corey.
For me, this is one spot too low. I am above the Rockets only because of the last month, but the Pacers have been fantastic. Obviously, they had this early stretch where everyone in the Pacers fan base was like, Miles Turner sucks. We got to get rid of this guy. It's the bonuses team. It's Oladipo. Let's forget about Turner. And then Oladipo got hurt, and we all thought, actually, I didn't really think they were screwed. You guys mentioned they might have been screwed on JBT, and I was like, come on, guys.
Nick has never been a fan of
Indiana. They were playing nine teams under 500. I was like, they're going to be okay, because they should win those
jealous
games.
Jealous of the chemistry.
Yeah.
And so they were 12-3 in December, which was incredible, because Oladipo only played, I think, in three of those games at the tail end of the year, and he wasn't really back in sync.
He had a really good game against the Nets.
Yeah, he did. Sorry, guys. But December was crucial for the Pacers, because with Oladipo gone, this team, unlike last year when they went 0-6 without Oladipo, they had to learn how to win without Oladipo. And it became Bogdanovich having a career year. Miles Turner finally got confidence in his jump shot, became a rim protector where he's had a block in every game this year.
Defensive player of the year.
At least one block. He's had numerous games with four plus blocks.
It's insane.
So Bonus off the bench, a double-double machine. The biggest, and actually the Pacers have taken this step forward, and they're obviously, we mentioned, they're one of those teams. They play team basketball, and every single signing they had this past offseason has been trash. Tyreek Evans has been nothing as I thought he would be. Doug McDermott can only play 15 minutes a game because he can't play any defensively.
Sure.
And then Kylo Quinn doesn't play. So this team is literally the same team as last year, basically.
That's a good point. Very good
and
point.
Now,
Holiday might have been the best.
He was the best.
And it was drafted.
And
he's a rookie.
Obviously, there's a lot of rumors with the point guard position. Will they try and trade Darren Collison, who's expiring?
Corey Joseph is really good for you guys.
Shooting splits. I think he's shooting like 44, 40, and 40 from the field. And Corey Joseph has never been a three-point shooter.
Right.
And obviously the Pacers, I think, are like top five in three-point percentage, but they're bottom five in 3 points attempted.
Yeah, because
and that's against the grain. You know, normally
one thing I think they do a great job of is taking advantage of what the defense is going to give them. A lot of teams give up mid-range shots. Pacers are capitalized on that.
Yeah. They are and defensively they are just so physical. Like, their physicality, I remember watching them against the Nets. They get away, not necessarily get away with it, they just know how to bend the rules to an extent. Yeah. Like, Thaddeus Young.
I didn't even mention Young. Young has been an absolute stellar.
It's my guy.
Like, all defensive potential. Like, he has been tremendous. And, like, I think that's been the crux of why the Pacers have been so good. Their effectiveness in all different areas, but their defense has been stunning.
They all have done at least an okay job being on-ball defenders.
Bogdanovich,
he just got cooked even by
And he was defending LeBron James last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, he put everyone on notice last year in the playoffs with his defense. Everyone's like, oh shit, he just plays hard.
I know.
And it's amazing what happens. If you play hard on defense, you do get some results.
And I think that's also some of his teammates in the Pacers organization, where when he was playing with the Nets, that was terrible organization. You know, Billy King was in charge. There's a lot of bad players, and he was kind of a crybaby a little bit. And now he's in a team and they're winning. It makes everybody kind of feel better.
Yeah, that's for sure. They've been awesome, and I think that the
Pacers, second in defensive rating.
That does not surprise me at all. And if they stay there, they will be, and they should be a top four team. But I'm not 100% sure what their playoff potential is, but I'm intrigued to see it, and I would love to see like a Pacers Sixers series, or even a Pacers Celtics series, because I think they have the depth and they have the potential to, you know, maybe even make the finals. But it's going to be fascinating to watch.
Second
it all
in
play
net
out.
Rating, which is something I did not expect to pull up.
It's huge, yeah. Absolutely huge.
And, you know, the one thing I always look at with the Pacers, and I've said this, I think, to Nick, you know, how everyone plays, you know, Victor Oladipo is obviously the best player on this team.
Yeah.
And there's going to be nights where he doesn't have it going. And those are the nights where he's on the floor that other guys have to step up. And they finally, I think, have the confidence that they think, like, okay, if Oladipo is off, we can do this. Whereas last year, it kind of felt like, especially in that Cavalier series, in game, I think, 2 and 3, they completely took out Oladipo, and the Pacers had no idea what to do.
Also, Oladipo is just like, we've talked about character of a lot of players. His character and just his personality.
He is such a guy.
He's like lovable.
And obviously, you know, the very sexy, sultry R&B album that he was.
It was great.
Have you listened to it?
Oh, of course. It was fantastic.
Corey was blasting that at the gym this morning.
Yeah, great gym music.
I'm not going to lie.
He was hitting pumps, and I was like, God damn, what are you singing? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm so connected.
I mean, if he doesn't have a girlfriend, then ladies, please. I mean,
it's baby-making music, what he's singing.
Maybe it'll be a distraction. You don't want that, Corey.
All the people stay on the floor.
He's going to...
But really, though, like, we would agree probably the Pacers are just a little bit behind from being a contender. Do you think they should pull the trigger and add the next, like, star?
I could.
See, this is my one fear. This is always, like, a fear, I think, when you're on that cusp of being a contending team is, what piece do you move that doesn't mess up chemistry?
It's the same with the Bucks.
Right.
That's why the Bucks being the best team right now, everyone's just like, well, they don't have, like, the second guy to Giannis. Whereas I think
team chemistry, kind of like that.
He is, but I don't think he has, like, he's not Jimmy Butler. He's not, and I'm not saying, like, you know, probably Chris Middleton's had a better season.
Right, yeah.
But I think, you know, stars is more overrated than chemistry to me, I think. I think that that's not valued enough, despite the fact that it's a star-driven league, but I think you go with what you've got, yeah, and you see...
I think, if, like, putting it into a number perspective, is say, like, I hate to use, like, a 2K rating, but say I have, like, a 94 overall player that's, like, a star, but I have an 85 overall player that's a better fit, I think you want to have the 85 because he fits a lot better with your squad.
That's my fear with, like, any trade they make is, like, you know, you take out, like, a Darren Collison or a Bogdanović, who are both expiring... How much of the Patriots, because this Patriots team, I don't know if you guys, how much you guys follow them, they're very close.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah.
This offseason, they were one, I know
Sabonis,
the Nets did it too.
Sabonis and Turner were together a lot.
Together, Victor Oladipo held a players-only camp this summer where only the team got together, and he didn't have any of the coaches allowed there. So, like, you know, they had Thanksgiving dinner together, a lot of the players.
Yeah.
So, like, this is a really connected team, and that's my only fear is, like, because I think, like, you know, think of a name, like Kemba Walker would probably be, like, the ideal guy for the Pacers, a point guard who can take the load off of Oladipo, can still go pick and roll with Sabonis.
Maybe they can make the trade Turner. Without necessarily giving up a piece that's huge.
Ideally for me, and I would be okay with letting the season ride with as is.
Yeah.
And then going into next year with Collison coming off the books, Bogdanović coming off the books, and going hard pressed on Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
And just accepting the fact that this year you're going to be probably a second round out, but you'll be able to bring in a max player. Because they do have enough contract money for a max deal. And also Tyreke Evans is expiring too. He was only a 1-year deal.
That's true.
If you could move Tyreke Evans though, actually, or Doug McDermott this season, I'd probably move him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's going to be, in no offense to Indiana being in a smaller market, it's going to be harder for them to bring Kemba in the offseason if they maybe traded for him now and then re-signed him. You're talking about the team chemistry. They bring him in. Everybody loves him.
Right.
Boom.
Right. But also, I think, unlike, obviously, this is a small market team. Unlike some of the teams, though, this small market, because they have the room for the max contract, it is appealing because of Oladipo's bonus and Turner. That is a big three in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You have good players already there. Right. So it definitely, if someone's not necessarily...
And everyone has taken a step forward, which is another...
And they could probably take another step, too. You know, at least most of them.
I hope so, at least.
So, but Corey, you could check more Pacers on Philexis Hoops. Houston Rockets, who have been really exciting thanks to this guy, the beard, James Harden, who we are going to eat a Sour Patch, Sour Sneakers later.
I might need them for dinner, possibly, if I'm getting the train too.
This podcast is like 16 hours long.
James Harden has been stunning. I mean, there aren't enough positive things you can say about his form lately, and you know, you can cry whatever you want about the free throws, and it is not aesthetically pleasing, but he's winning games off his own back, and he's becoming one of the all-time greats in his position, like Nick's mentioned to us off wax. And I think that he sort of made that, the thing that impresses me most is that early in the season, you know, he was overweight, he wasn't game ready, and he had the recognition to go, look, I need to be better if I want us to get back up here. And he did. He put in that work. And I think the maturity level of a James Harden of seasons past probably wouldn't have done that. And I think that that shows leaps and bounds of him, not just as a player, but as a person overall, to be able to make those changes himself. And he has been absolutely on a tear, and you know, probably been the number one storyline of the past week or so in terms of NBA world.
And not to even discredit Harden, I think having Chris Paul there has changed him a little bit mentality-wise, as a leader, as a person. Like, Chris Paul's like no shit type of guy. He wants to win every single game, and I'm sure he got after Harden a little bit, and Harden's kind of learned off of that. And like you said, over the last few weeks, there's no one that's been better than James Harden. And that performance against Golden State, I didn't get to watch the whole game, but I watched the fourth quarter, the overtime, and then with Jack's beautiful thread on OTG.
That was literally one of the best performances I've ever seen. And, like, you know, you can take...
The game-winning shot is just so crazy that he hit that.
Like I was saying, like, as I was going through the play-by-play video, it was just like, step back, step back, step back, step back.
And 23 threes.
And I'm just like, what the hell is going on? And I'm just like, this guy is an all-timer. And I think that he's starting to finally... You know, change the narrative around him, and all it takes is one game, and I think it's already starting to turn.
And not only did they beat the Warriors, but they beat the Warriors without Chris Paul and without Eric Gordon.
And the Warriors were at their best.
They were healthy.
Yes. Without DeMar.
Right. They wanted to win the game, though. Like, I don't think...
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Warriors...
Yeah, they were engaged.
Draymond was talking shit. That was, like, one
Curry
of my favorite
really
clips
well.
Of the season.
Yeah.
The Rockets, obviously, they started off piss poor. We're not gonna, you know, the Carmelo experiment wasn't, I don't think it was Melo's fault.
The effort and the energy wasn't there.
Right, it just didn't work for anybody. And they've mentioned that they just didn't have the same juice. Daryl Morey mentioned how everybody kind of took a step back for shooting wise. Eric Gordon still hasn't been that good this year. And when Chris Paul went down, this team could have really folded.
Oh yeah,
they could have folded, and I actually think we thought they were gonna fold,
or we thought it would be difficult.
We thought they were in tough shit, and obviously Harden then decided I'm just gonna up my game. I'm gonna start
playing. I'm gonna be better than I ever been.
Yeah,
yeah. And this it's insane.
This stretch has been compared to one of Kobe's greatest stretches in 08, right? Or 06.
And it might even be better.
Technically, the only thing that's different is the points per game is in Kobe's favor, but efficiency, true shooting percentage, all of that is in Harden's favor. And assists is in Harden's favor.
I think one thing
rebounds too,
like
probably.
One thing that I think like is underappreciated from Harden is the amount of points he creates. And Jack and I were talking about this a little bit. He accounted for like 70 to 85 points in that game. Like he's one player that literally can win you games by himself being on the floor. It's not like you, like you mentioned, no Chris Paul, no Eric Gordon. Their team is not stacked by any measure.
They should have beat a Warrior. That Warrior team should arguably never lose that game.
They should beat them by 10.
Right. Yeah. Realistically.
And like Clint Capella has been
oh my god, least. 2020 machine
and,
since.
And like it's just like he's doing the quietest 2020s ever. And like 2020s are hard to do, but I think James Harden has made his life a whole lot easier, and he's rewarding him, and he's a sublime passer, and he's rewarding him whenever Clint runs the floor because he looks fit, and I think he's...
Those half-court hoops are crazy.
They're insane, and I'm not going to...
They make them look so easy, though, as if, like, oh, no big deal.
And I think Steven Adams and the Thunder do that quite well as well. Yeah, they do. I think, just off the top of my head, I think his free throw percentage, he looks more comfortable there. Not saying that, like, his numbers might be insane, but just watching him
more experience,
lately...
More experience, yeah.
Yeah,
you put in the work, you get more confidence.
I think there might be a trigger in his contract where he gets more money.
Yeah, there is. There is.
I don't think that that's part of it, but, you know...
It might have been part of it, though, in the training.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, they're going to pay me more money, I'm going to do some more free throws.
Yeah. And obviously, this is also a team, I think, obviously, they're connected to, like, a lot of, like, Kent Bazemores and KCP. They're probably going to make some sort of move that will help them defensively and at least add some three-point shooting.
It's Daryl Morey. You know what's happening.
Right. I honestly think that they're going to be back to being an actual contender when it comes playoff time. That, like, they're going to make a move, and they're going to be back, not maybe to the highest level next year, depending on Chris Paul, but
it
the way hard...
on Chris Paul.
Yeah, depending on Chris Paul, and if Harden's able to... Obviously, we talked about this off-wax on the show. We've talked about this for years now. Can Harden do this in the playoffs? Obviously, it's extremely difficult when you're one player and they can kind of double, triple team you, whatever, but it's going to be about him and his teammates trying to find a way to win in the playoffs.
See, and the one thing with Harden is everybody brings up free throws. We didn't mention the free throw. Everybody bitches, oh, he does get to the free throw line. He beat
Don't
the Warriors.
Foul him.
He beat the Warriors, I think, with only like nine free throws.
Yep.
Right?
I think as well with James Harden, in terms of the playoff talk, and I think it's become just like emblematic of just NBA fans and NBA media in general. We need to just appreciate what is happening right now and just be grateful for, like, you know, when LeBron James got injured. Like, I think we're taking for granted what is happening in today's NBA and the amount of talent and the amount of storylines. This is an amazing league, and, like, you know, yes, there's playoffs coming up, and yes, it's Golden State Warriors, blah blah blah, but the regular season is super fun. Like, I know we sort of talked about it when we did the Warriors preview that, you know, it's fait accompli, but right now, the NBA is as good a product as it's ever been, and that's thanks to the players, and that's thanks to guys like James Harden.
And honestly, I don't know if this is a hot take, this is no longer a guarantee the Warriors win.
No, it's not. Yeah. Not anymore.
The
chemistry is a major concern. Yes. The Kevin Durant situation is a concern. You know, if you don't want to address it or not, Steve Kerr's brought it up way too much this year in his press conferences about KD needing the ball. And, like, that's not something we ever heard in the past.
You know who needs the ball? Stephen Curry, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. So it's just something is not right there. Maybe there's more issues than we know about, but we'll talk about them in a little bit. Enough about Houston, which has been really fun. OKC. Maybe not as fun to watch, but they've had a really good season. They just played defense.
Steven Adams is freaking awesome, man. He's one of my favorite players to watch. When I play pickup ball, I want to play like Steven Adams does.
Want to play with you.
Run the floor, set hard screens, make the game easy for your teammates, and just play insane defense. It's hard to sort of say, when has there ever been, you know, a defensive player of the year candidates on the same team? Like, I'm not sure who has been more impactful defensively. You always generally fall back on the center, so maybe Steven Adams has been better than Paul George, but I think Paul George has been the best wing defender. So, I mean, Steven Adams has been absolutely incredible. Russell Westbrook is the major storyline because he's been so bad, yet the Thunder have just been so good.
But he's been more of a point guard.
And I think his defense has been very good. We've seen glimpses of it in games, and I remember Houston Rockets, I think, Christmas game last year where we saw it. He has been much better defensively. And despite the fact that he's you know, shooting shit from the field. Paul George is making up for it, and I just love they're just like...
It's got to be a really positive sign, too, for OKC, because Westbrook isn't going to shoot bad all season,
I don't think. And, like, he's only going to get better. And I love just the amount of switchability and the stretchiness of this team. Nerlens Noel, Jeremy Grant, Terrence Ferguson, these guys just, like, jump, like, out of the freaking arena and just block you out of nowhere.
Did that picture of Terrence Ferguson?
He's, like, belly button is up to the freaking rim. I'm just like, holy shit.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Like, there's one, I don't know if you saw, this is why I was talking Josh Hart so lovable on Twitter. He was like, at this point, you're wondering how I'm still here. And it was, one of them was, like, on top of him.
Yeah, it's insane. And they're, I mean, I personally really enjoy watching them, and I've always been super high on them. I did a hot take for them that I think that they were the biggest challenges to the Warriors. Right now, I think that they probably would be, but that could easily change in a few weeks' time with the Rockets, the Warriors, the Rockets, the Lakers, and other teams like the Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, I've been really high on the Thunder. I mean, even last year I was really high on the Thunder, so I thought they had the right pieces and the defense to really make a stand, and obviously Paul George wasn't that good last year. Melo didn't fit.
We mentioned this a little bit. There was an injury that he got cleaned up in the offseason, and I feel like that changed a lot for
him. Yeah, it hindered him. And then this year, you know, I think it's clear as day to me that Paul George is the most confident and the most comfortable he's ever been in the NBA. Well, not ever. Since those 2013-14 Pacers team that made it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
He's probably more confident, though, now because he has all that experience.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
And also, I think he had, like, this team in particular, and I truly believe this, Westbrook has always had a chip on his shoulder. I think George also now has a chip on his shoulder. There was a lot, at least last year, everyone was saying, Pacers won the trade. Oladipo's a bonus way better than Paul George. I think Paul George, you heard, like...
Oh, even the shit in the playoff, push off P, all of that, like, hate towards Paul George is something he's probably never experienced. Because it was always like, oh, I love Paul George, I can't wait for him to come back, that injury really sucked.
Yeah.
And then all the hate from, oh, he didn't sign with LA, he doesn't really want to win, BS. Who's higher in the standings right now? Who's predicted to do better in the playoffs right now? If you ask me, I would take OKC in a series over the Lakers, most likely, because...
Defense wins championships.
They're a team that you do not want to face because they would just be not fun.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we haven't talked about Andre Roberson. I'm not sure how much he impacts them.
I'm not 100% confident in him coming back from the injury.
Too already, right?
Yeah, so like if he does come back, I could see this team making a little bit of a move. I think they need one more three-point shooter.
They've needed it for the last 5 years.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you can't really rely on Alex Abrines to sort of nail your threes. Right. Paul George has been fantastic there, but that would have been a perfect sort of destination for a guy like Kyle Korver.
If Patterson actually played well, that would have been the best signing.
Completely shit.
He's been better this year, much better, but that's not saying much because he was pretty trash last
season. He was good in Toronto, like not his last season, but the year before that, he was very good for them.
Their trade for Dennis Schroeder was really good too.
Yeah, I like that.
Dennis Schroeder has been decent for them. I know the shooting splits aren't great for Schroeder.
He's been really good defensively.
Defensively, and also just like they run late in the games. I don't know how many late games you guys are watching them. Dennis Schroeder oftentimes gets ball handling duties over Westbrook, and they let Westbrook kind of play off ball, so it's just a different flow to the offense.
Yeah.
And Nerlens Noel.
I always like Noel.
We've always been high on Noel. We've hoped that he
That's that love.
We'd hope that he'd figure it out. And even though he's not playing a ton of minutes, he looks like he can be a complimentary backup center.
He's going to get some good money this year.
Yes.
Yeah, he'll get paid. He'll get paid.
So, OKC, it seems like we all love them. Denver Nuggets, another team who's been very impressive and dealt with injuries, and now they're starting to get healthy.
You know what I don't agree with? There's people that are putting, like, Nikola Jokic in the, like, MVP conversation. No. There are, like, you can't, like, have, like, five shots a night, like, on certain occasions, and to me, be in the MVP conversation. Because, yes, they have been good, but I think they've been good as a collective. Like, there was someone on ESPN who was sort of like, you know, Jokic is third in my MVP vote. No, Embiid is above him. No, Giannis is above him. Harden is above him. You know, Paul George is above him. Kevin Durant is above
him. LeBron's above him.
All these guys are above him. And that's not to say he hasn't been insane. And I think he's been
an all-star. He just hasn't been MVP.
He hasn't. And that, I mean, that's not that big of... And he's probably been All-NBA nearly. He's at least All-NBA third.
Shout out to Jeremy Freed writing an article predicting that early in the year.
There we go. And I think probably the only center that's been better than him is Joel Embiid to me. But he is probably already the best passing big man of all time. Jamal Murray has taken some strides forward.
He has that crazy like jump shot pass where it looks like he's going to shoot, but he passes it.
There's one, I you guys probably think of the same play. He's at the three-point line. And looks like he's shooting a three, and someone cuts underneath the basket, and it lands, like, literally, like, drops into his hands.
Denver is a must-watch team because of him.
Oh, yeah.
And they play some of the most entertaining basketball. Mike Malone deserves a lot of credit as well because
they're going to the hot seat to probably maybe a Coach of the Year candidate.
Yeah, definitely. And because obviously the way they've dealt with the injuries and maintained their defensive capabilities without Paul Millsap and Gary Harris,
they're we two thought they defenders. Were in trouble with the injuries a little bit, like when they first happened, because going Harris and Millsap
two are best defenders,
very, very good players. It's not like we're talking about, oh, you just lost your sixth man and your eighth man or something.
Will Barton.
Realistically, like their injuries they had a couple weeks ago were starting five.
Yeah,
and maybe make the playoffs in the East.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just the fact of the matter. And like two things for me with the Nuggets. Going into the year, I knew their offense was going to be stellar. Their defense has been way better than I expected.
Insanely
at
better.
This point of the year. And just going back to the Jokic MVP conversation, I wonder if he's being elevated because of all the injuries. Because fact of the matter is...
It's true. He's their best player, and he's carrying them through the injuries.
Right. So I think that might be what... And they're a top three team in the West still, right?
I mean, you can make the argument he's top 10 in the MVP race, but I wouldn't put him like
right, I wouldn't top, put him five top five. Top no, seven. But I think I think that's what puts him in the conversation, simply because of what that team has had to endure. And the fact is, without him, their playmaking probably takes a giant step back.
Oh, hugely.
And then... With all the guys out, they're probably definitely not winning games. If Jamal Murray,
and having a big man that you actually have to guard from the 3-point line on is a ginormous impact.
He's been better defensively as well. Yeah. I think he's taken some.
Honestly, I don't know why this popped in my head, but like a Jokic and Giannis combo would be just insane.
I mean,
crazy the ball handling and all that. Oh my lord.
Yeah.
But no, Denver, we've been really happy about them. Going to the year, we were happy about them. Golden State, we just talked about them, number three in the rankings. Probably about right. You could probably even make an argument for them being a little bit lower just because they just don't even look like they care.
Yeah, I had them fourth. I had the Nuggets above them at this point in time.
Right now, I would probably change mine to second because I've been a little bit lower on how the Raptors have been playing.
Raptors have really struggled.
So I think the Warriors...
The Raptors just like stopped giving a shit about the season all of a sudden.
Yeah, I think the Warriors deserve to be where they are. They're third, second, or first, wherever you want to put them, because they're the Golden State Warriors, and they've proven... over the past 3-4 years that they are the best team and one of the best teams of all time.
They can just flip the switch.
It's just whether they can do that this time around. Like, whether all the issues that are surrounding them and whether that all the other teams that have gotten better, East and West, are going to affect that. Like, you know, they've had a stranglehold on the entire NBA. They still have two of the best three players in the league. Like, Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant are 2 and 3, whatever you want
to... I think the biggest change is probably they went from having four of the top 25 players to maybe only having three.
I think Draymond's still been good defensively, but he's been trash offensively.
He's been good defensively, but he hasn't been, like, all-world defender, which is what he used to be.
Yeah, and I think he's lost a step there.
And I'm a big Draymond guy, but this year he hasn't impressed.
Clay has really not impressed either.
Yeah.
But
the weird thing with Clay, if I'm not mistaken, he's taking the most field goal attempts that he has in like the last few seasons.
But I think but the injuries early, he kind of got more shots. But like with Clay, I'm not worried about Clay because
he just like is weird.
On this team, he is still only like he's the third option because he's still going to go with Curry and Durant. I saw a stat the other day and it shocked the shit out of me. Durant's first year there, he was averaging...
Oh, the amount of three-pointers?
No. The
post-touches?
No. It was points off assists.
Percentage
off assists. He was like 64, or his points coming off of an assist. It was like 64 the first year, 54 last year, and this year it's 43.
I thought it was lower even.
It might be now, but I know like it keeps dropping because it's becoming more and more isolation basketball. And that's never been what the Warriors did.
And that's how Houston almost beat them.
Right,
because the KD would drop 37, but Houston would win the game.
Right, and they said, "Go ahead." Isolate.
The way they're coddling him way too much when they have an all-worldly historic player in Stephen Curry, who their offense is predicated on. For them to like be the Golden State Warriors that we know and love/hate. Then it all revolves around Steph. It's simple as that. It's hard to say to refer to Kevin Durant as an ancillary piece alongside Stephen Curry, but that's just the case. And I mean, we've heard the comments about Kevin Durant saying that, you know, all he wants to do is just get his money post this season. I mean, he can get that in Golden State because they can offer him the most money, but at the same time, you know, we'll have to wait and see how that all plays out.
And we always talk, you know, Durant, I think we all agree, is the better player.
Yes.
But he is not...
I'm going to bring up a point. So, Durant, I think when you're looking at the NBA, you're like, oh, he's the second best player, but when you're looking at the Golden State Warriors, their best player is Steph Curry.
Yes, because he's the most impactful. Easily. He's the most important. What he does, I mean, we saw when Curry wasn't, you know, he was gone for, what was it, 3 weeks or 4 weeks when he was out, that Warriors offense...
He had the fights, the nonsense.
Yeah, the Warriors offense just didn't didn't look the same. It didn't move as slow. And he comes back, and the offense does click. The defense, to me, is what's worrisome. And the bench is just freaking dreadful.
Yeah.
You know, Iggy has had some nights, but he just doesn't look the same. Sean,
you brought up before that he's starting to get, like, a little bit washed, right? Was it you on the
ball? Yeah, on some part. I just don't think that he... Like, his contract is going to look pretty bad. Like, 16 per for the next two, I think, or at least...
Houston dodged a bullet, but they ended up signing Chris Paul, so right. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
And we see this, though, with teams. Like, you know, the Warriors struggles to me. They're not, like... I'm not shocked, because teams don't normally have these kind of great sustained runs. Like, it's 3 years. I mean, the greatest teams only did it 3 years in a row. Like, granted, who knows what the Bulls and Jordan could have done if he didn't retire for 2 years or whatever the case may be.
That's his problem.
But, right, realistically, it's three, like, Lakers with Shaq and Kobe, arguably one of the best combinations in NBA history. Won three, lost in the four. The Heat, they won two, couldn't do it in the third. You know, and who knows? If the Ray Allen hit that shot, they probably don't win that game.
They're as vulnerable as they've ever been.
Right. This is definitely, and obviously we mentioned this on the last NBA outlet. I think when Cousins comes back, he's going to bring that, I haven't won anything yet, kind of.
Let's play harder.
Because right, that's what Durant gave this team. I think Durant was good that first year because this team was like, he's never won. He deserves to win. We know he's a winner. Let's get this motherfucker a ring.
Yeah. But DeMarcus is also going to want that money. Like, he's playing for a contract at the same time. So, like,
well, there is the I don't know if you saw the article that came out, or the rumor that he's open to going to Golden State again next year.
I don't believe that at all. Like, unless, because Kevin Durant could leave, it could leave a little bit of a chunk of money for him. But DeMarcus Cousins offensively, like, when we've done player rankings before, he's one of the best offensively talented, gifted centers in the league. But, and I just think that he's going to want some money. And I think he deserves it. He hasn't, like, you know, received an outstanding payday, and I think that it depends on how he is willing to sacrifice will affect them and him going forward.
But I mean,
I'm still concerned about his injury.
I mean, I am too. Any time of
Achilles,
a 7 foot center.
Jack brought up Elton Brand before. MVP type season, tore his Achilles, never the same again.
Yeah,
right. And isn't DeMarcus Cousins 29?
30? Yeah.
He's near 30, and I don't like
he's players. A little bigger than Elton Brand was.
Rudy Gay is the only person that's come back from my memory and, like, stayed good. Right. Like, he's not, like, you know, in the same vein as those two talented players, but he's been, you know, like we talked about with the Spurs.
That's the one thing for me would be how Cousins comes back.
They can make a trade, too. They haven't been super active, but they could make a trade. Yeah. And somebody might be cooking up some wild stuff. I don't know if they were drinking or what, but...
Who knows, too, though? I mean... Cousins could come back, right?
And ruin
could play
everything.
Well, that too. But he could play really well, and maybe it makes the Warriors go, fuck Draymond.
Yeah.
Let's sell on him.
Or maybe sell on KD. Maybe they're like, okay.
Or sell on Clay and get a bunch of role players.
Yeah, or something. I don't know. There's a lot of different
options. There's options.
Yeah, you know, it's nice having four All-Stars on the same team.
Yeah,
but in five if you count Draymond. Right. But enough about the Warriors. On to the Raptors. Jack mentioned this a little bit. They've been kind of sliding. You know, they haven't been necessarily the team that started the season. Obviously, the Lowry injury has hurt them, but number two in the rankings kind of feels a little high almost.
Kawhi Leonard is their best player, but Kyle Lowry is the most important.
Yep.
And I don't think that, you know, we sort of talked about with Stephen Curry.
It's similar, but I think it's a little bit different in a way. Like, Lowry definitely drives the ship, but I think Kawhi has almost... Like, if you subtracted Kawhi, they wouldn't be as good a team. Where you subtract KD, they'd still be a really, really good team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's completely different situations, but it's just, you know, apples and oranges, I guess. Mm-hmm. But of you know, in terms of overall, you know, they've seen some tremendous growth, and our guy Nick Cavallo has been putting out some awesome for him on OTGBasketball.com. You know, he's talked about, you know, how some of their role players need to step up, like CJ Miles, like Delon Wright and Norman Powell. I think Nick Nurse has done a tremendous job. I think Pascal Siakam is playing all-star level basketball.
He's the X-Factor.
He's killing it. But I think that Serge Ibaka's form is going to dictate how things go, because I think the Jonas Valanciunas injury is affecting them. And, you know, Greg Monroe is fine, but I think Jonas Valanciunas, you know, I think that they need everything to go perfectly.
He provides them with a different tool.
Like, yeah. And they're still, like, second in these rankings. So, like, there's not that many issues for them. They're still, like, a very, very
good... deep team, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I had them second, and granted, it probably is too high. And for me, it's, you know, obviously, this last month was weird because, like, when Lowry played, Kawhi didn't play.
Yeah.
When Kawhi was playing, Lowry was playing.
A lot of, like, resting off
type right. Of stuff. And then, obviously, you guys mentioned, I had Nick Cavallo on Full Access Hoops the other day, and we had to scrap the pod because there was an audio issue. But he made some great points about, like, some of the bench players. Like, OG Anunoby didn't take a step forward. CJ Miles can't shoot. A lot of these guys who were so crucial to that bench mob that they were last year have not been playing at the same level. And granted, you know, it could stay like that. But I feel like this team is still trying to figure things out, like, offensively, because this is still, you know, we forget Nick Nurse is still, you know.
Yeah, I will say this about Nick Nurse, is that he coaches a very interesting way. Even going to the season, he was very open to changing the starting lineups, where he's playing almost by matchup and not rotations, and that puts pressure on the players to adjust every single game, where, hey, I'm not playing 20 minutes tonight, I'm playing 5, but you expect me to produce the same way. It's not possible.
Right. Yeah, there's positives and negatives to that.
Exactly, and I think as they get closer to the regular the postseason, they'll kind of adjust and find their roles a little bit more. Yeah. Obviously, not having Lowry has been impactful.
Right, and what I will, and two, to that same
assist notion, leader too in the NBA, at least he was.
Oh really? I didn't know that. To the same notion, Danny Green, I think, was a great addition to that Kawhi Leonard trade. Really good. Fits right in with the culture. And I think this year, and I've said this a lot about the Raptors in the past, this to me looks like this Raptors team is better than any DeRozan Lowry team.
Oh, easily.
And they just look to be a lot more confident. There's no LeBron James hanging over, and obviously this team's a lot different than
You have a LeBron killer in Kawhi Leonard, right? So like,
Kawhi's been a little bit more emotional this season. Like, I've seen him.
Looks like he's always gonna cry. Honest,
I've seen like him actually yell and be angry. Obviously, the fresh thought is the San Antonio game, right. But like in general, I feel like he's been more. I don't know. I just feel him more in the game, just from a playing perspective.
No, I definitely feel that as well. He's not. I don't want to say he's become more personable, but he's.
He's opening himself.
Got that New Balance money now.
That's true. The New Balance. New Balance, new him.
New year. But Toronto, you know, we're not really worried about them. They're going to probably stay around this ranking the whole entire year, considering the East and their team. Yep. Milwaukee Bucks, number one in the OTG Power Rankings at pretty much the halfway point of the year. I think this is pretty locked in. I don't know. There's not much argument for me here.
Antetokounmpo
has been probably, you know, the MVP so far this season. Yeah. Harden right on his tail, but based off the full year, you know, a lot of credit to the front office, Coach Bud.
Yeah.
Everything has just been amazing over there, and they've just fit all the pieces in, and the vibe and the atmosphere feels great.
Yeah, it's sort of like a Warriors, sort of their breakout season to an extent.
Yeah.
In terms of, but like, they've just had so many good role players sort of stepping up. Guys like DJ Wilson.
Yeah, he was a guy they were talking to Bucks writers and fans were saying we should cut him or trade him, and all of a sudden he's putting up good minutes.
And, like, you know, they've just got a really sort of deep squad. You know, Ersan Ilyasova's been out for a while, but, you know, Brook Lopez is shooting as many threes as Klay Thompson these days. He's been Splash Mountain, baby. I mean,
come on the pod. I mean, I have your fat head.
Give me a ticket to that show, because he's been phenomenal of late. And you know, they're just playing a really successful brand of basketball, and I think it's very sustainable. And you know, we saw them in last year's playoffs sort of falter, but I think a lot of that was due to the fact that Jason Kidd was their coach, and you know, they had the sort of fill-in.
And then
Joe Pierce,
Prunty.
Prunty. I knew I was going to get that name right.
I'm the only one that hasn't got a name wrong this podcast. So
obviously, I've been really high on the Bucks. I had the Bucks as my dark horse to make the Eastern Conference Finals going into the year. And I still have said this, I didn't expect Budenholzer to get this team working as fast as he has. I mean,
Coach of the Year so far?
Yes. Has to be, without question. And as you mentioned, last year in the playoffs, it felt like in that first round series that the Bucks were so close to being, like, arriving almost. It was like, wow, Antetokounmpo is right there, about to, like, burst onto the scene. The Bucks are right there. But there was no coach. And then,
if you had Brook on that team, they'd probably go to the next round.
I would think so. Yeah. Even, actually, you just put in Budenholzer, that team probably wins that series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Easily.
So now they got everything figured out. The spacing on the floor is ridiculous. Antetokounmpo has so much room to operate. Eric Bledsoe shooting like 50% from the field. Chris Middleton earning every penny. His numbers are slightly down off, like, scoring wise, but I think people see that with his length. Defensively, he's so tough to guard. He can guard 2 through 4. He can shoot. And then you look at guys, you know, Tony Snell's healthy. He's had a better year.
He went from not wanting to shoot the ball to actually being pretty good.
Right, and I think, you know, freeing up John Henson, getting rid of John Henson, Dellavedova. I think George Hill's a complimentary backup point guard. I think Dante Vincenzo, even though he was drafted, I think, way too early at 17, I really like the fact that they're getting just three-point shooters.
Yeah, he's the fit.
Exactly. So I'm really high on the Bucks, and I think this team right now is probably, in my estimate, the biggest threat to the Golden State Warriors repeating.
I wouldn't dispute that. Maybe the Raptors, just because
matchups.
Kawhi has almost done it already. So, but a lot can change.
For me, it's just like star power. I think that the Bucks' star power to me just matches.
The only thing I'd worry about the Bucks is, like, as much as I love Brooke, they would expose the shit out of him. Yeah. Golden State.
Cousins would.
Yeah,
he wouldn't be able
to. Actually, he wouldn't. I don't think he would be terrible against Cousins. I just think soon as you pick and roll, like you put, he can't chase Steph. He can't chase Clay. He can't chase.
Yeah, but you could counter that with playing Giannis at the five more.
Yeah, that's what you would have to do.
Yeah.
And I think that they've got that flexibility. But yeah, I think it's Bucks or Raptors. But you know, the Celtics or Sixers could make us look silly. But I think that those two teams are.
And OKC and Houston, you got to give them still some
definitely.
Credit too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Denver, you know, they still need playoff experience before I start to, like, really...
They got to make it first.
Exactly.
And that's another thing to note, too, for the Bucks this year. It's how do they actually look in the playoffs? Yep. Obviously, they've never had a deep playoff run with Antetokounmpo.
Giannis felt really angry after last year.
Right.
And you saw in his workout.
Yeah,
now he's a super trying hero. To beat the Rock.
Yeah.
So.
And then he was like, sorry, I'm just kidding. I mean, Rock, I don't want him to come fight me.
I'd pay to say that.
But any last thoughts, guys, on any of the ranks before we get out of here?
I think they're relatively accurate for the most part. There's a couple of spots here and there, but...
I think the middle probably was the biggest issue for me.
Yeah, and that's probably the hardest part.
Because like, all the West teams are just...
And a lot of... That's where you sort of get that randomness to it, because a lot of people think so highly of a certain team, and other people think lowly, and that sort of creates a sort of mismatch.
And you don't necessarily watch every single team in the league. It's easy to know that someone's really bad, or someone's really good.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm not following, you know... Not following the Nets, so I don't know they're doing so well, or I just think that the Grizzlies are good because they started good and they're not really good anymore.
Yeah.
So, but guys, that wraps it up for our first ever live recording of the NBA Outlet Halftime Show. Jack in Australia, Corey as always co-hosting, and check us out: iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Also, check out a ton of great content, podcasts, article wise, and on Twitter at OTGBasketball.
It's been a damn pleasure. Peace out, knuckleheads.
Bye bye.